Welcome to the Westview Church Podcast. Our vision at Westview is creating space for self and community to find rest in Christ. And we're thankful that today you've created space in your day to study God's Word together with us. If you'd like more information about Westview Church, find us on the web at www.westview.org.
We'll be reading from Ephesians 1, 3 through 14. Let's read. Praise be to the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with the pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him who has redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace, that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding, and he made us and made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put in effect when the time has been reached for their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory.
Thank you so much, Eric, for reading our passage for us this morning. I invite you to leave that passage open as we read and as we study it together today. We'll refer to it many, many times this morning. But I just want to name at the beginning, you know, as wild as the next few moments are going to get, if we walk out of here today remembering just three words, then we will know everything that we need to know about this passage, about our salvation, and about free will and predestination. Just three words. Can you guess what they are? He chose us. He chose us. Say that with me, please. He chose us. Now, if you're feeling really good about yourself this morning, like, come on, Josh, I can do more than that, let me add two more words to it, yes? He chose us in Christ. Say that with me, please. He chose us in Christ. God chooses us in Christ. Friends, that is the gift. That is the glory. That is the good news of the gospel, that God chooses us in Jesus Christ. So God chose us in Christ. He chose us of his own free will. Let's talk about free will first. We're going to talk about God and free will, then we'll talk about us in free will. So let's start talking about God and free will. And as we do so, look at your passage with me this morning. Look at a couple of different places. Look at some of the words and phrases, like at the end of verse 4, in love, middle of verse 5, in accordance with his pleasure and will, middle of verse 6, he has freely given us, middle of verse 7, in accordance with his riches, it says, middle of verse 9, his will, and then later, which he purposed, middle of verse 11, according to the plan of him, and at the end of verse 11, the purpose of his will. What does all that mean? God does what God decides to do. God does what he decides to do. In choosing you and me, it's his plan. It's his will. It's his purpose. It's his desire that out of love and grace, as we see in this passage, God does what God decides to do. He is not obligated. He is not compelled. God chooses us because he desires to choose us. It's not based on who I am or who I am not. It's not based on what I do or what I do not do. God chooses you and me of his free will. That's a gift, wouldn't you say? God chooses us of his free will. So then what about us? Do we have free will? Do we have free will? Yes. And no. Helpful? Good, let's move on. Yes, we have free will. I can decide on my own free will on Friday morning when I go get groceries if I'm going to go to Fairway or Aldi or Hy-Vee. My choice. I can decide on my own free will next Sunday if I'm going to root for the 49ers or the Chiefs. Oh, 49er fans, you want to try that again? Or once again, if I will be rooting for the commercials for the every year of my life, right? I can choose freely, right? I am not a puppet controlled by a heavenly puppeteer, and every single action that I do is controlled, right? So yes, we have free will. But the answer is also no. See, since the moment that Adam and Eve committed that first sin, every single person who has been born with what we call an innate or a natural sinful nature. Meaning that we are predisposed to sin. Later in the book of Ephesians, the next chapter, it says we are dead in sin. And that sinful nature means that we do not have free will to choose good. We do not have the freedom on our own to choose God or to choose God's will on our own, by our own power, by our own choice. We are sinful people. We are inclined to sin. We are captive to sin. Our will is powerless to choose God on our own. And if there's going to be any possible change to any of that, it has to be the work of God. Let me share a quote with you. I think this will help us out a little bit. This is from Donald McKim. The quote says this: "The sinner, it's you and me, has no power to respond to God by one's free choice, since our wills are held in bondage to the power of sin. If any change is to occur within us, it must be by God's act and God's act alone. Our sinful human nature makes it impossible for us to choose to accept the gospel of Christ except by the direct action of the Holy Spirit who gives us faith." And friends, that's what God does. Remember those three words? God chose us. God chooses to save us through the gift of his Son, Jesus Christ. And what God does is through the power of the Holy Spirit, we receive the gift of faith so that we then can believe, so that we then can receive the good news of Jesus Christ, that we can receive God's salvation. And by faith, when we receive God's gift of salvation, then we have a new nature. Then we are a new creation. The sinful nature is gone, and the nature we now have is led by the Spirit, and the Spirit leads us, and the Spirit guides us. And so by God's doing, we now have a will, a free will, that is able to resist sin and resist evil and instead pursue God and pursue his purposes. So the freedom of our free will is a work of God, the God who chooses us. Free will. We got that mastered, yes? So let's move on to the other big word that we want to explore. Deep breaths, predestination. There's a lot of misunderstanding about predestination. There's a lot of, misunderstanding. But let me just assure us at the very beginning here, as we talk about predestination, that predestination is biblical. It's in our passage. Twice. Want to know where? Verse 4. Verse 11, it's there. Here's the thing. In fact, all Christians believe in predestination by God. Now, not everyone believes the exact same thing about predestination, but predestination is undeniably biblical. Sometimes predestination, that word is used interchangeably with another word called election. And that's understandable. They both mean nearly the same thing, but there is a distinction. So let's parse this out a little bit. Predestination is the general term, so like the big umbrella term, used to describe God's sovereign ordaining. So we've talked a lot over the series about the sovereignty of God, right? That God has the power. God has the authority. We said that God reigns and God rules. And so predestination is God's reign and his rule working toward a predetermined purpose, towards a specific end that is in keeping with his will that he has for the world that he created and he sustains. In other words, let me put it very simply, God has a plan for everything he has created, everything he cares for, everything that he rules over. And we can throw in that it's a good plan. A plan, as this passage talks about, that is rooted in his love and his grace for his creation. Now, most often in Scripture, the witness of Scripture is that that plan that God has is most often revealed in respect to our salvation in Jesus Christ. And that's where the term election comes in. Election is the specific term that is used to describe what our passage is about today. It's about God choosing us in Christ. Look at verses 4 and 5 again with me. For he, God, chose us in him, in Christ, before the creation of the world, to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his children through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and his will. So one way to think about predestination is that God is initiating the entire process of salvation. Right? We said, because of our own free will that is in bondage to sin, we cannot do this on our own in any sort of way. And so instead, God works. God takes action. God, by his love and his grace, he does not allow us as human beings just to wallow in our sin. He does not allow us to remain dead in our sins. God does not allow us to face the consequences of our sin and the ultimate punishment of our sin, that's death. God works, God acts, and he, by his will, he chooses us before the creation of the world to be saved. He predestines, he calls, he elects us to receive the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. Our salvation is this unconditional gift of God's love that God has determined before the world began to spin. Now, we just said a word there, unconditional. Let's talk about that, because that can be a little fuzzy sometimes. What does that mean? Unconditional means that God is not basing his choice of who to save based on something that he sees in the future. So God, before the world began to spin, God didn't look into the future and say, oh, that Josh, he's a nice little boy. And he does nice things. I want him to be on my team, so I'm going to pick him. That's not what it's about. That's not what God does. God, in choosing us in Jesus Christ, is a gift of unmerited favor. It's a gift of grace that is not dependent on anything else than grace alone. Because if anything else would be in place, then it would no longer be God's free will. Right? We said God is not obligated. God is not compelled to act in any sort of way. If God set up a checklist, a priority list, a checklist for salvation, who he's going to pick, like, yep, check, 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 uh-oh, 4 out of 5, sorry, you're out, then God would be obligated to follow the list. That's not how God works. God is not obligated in any sort of way. And what I hope this helps us realize, and what I hope this helps us appreciate, is that we have an even better understanding of what grace is. Grace is unmerited favor. It's something we do not deserve. Look at verses 7 and 8 with me. In him, in Jesus, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. Not my wisdom and understanding, his wisdom and understanding. It's the riches of God's grace. Here's another way that we can define predestination, and this might be helpful. It's pretty short and simple. Put it here on the screen. God, from all eternity, right, before the creation of the world, as it says in our passage, decrees some to election and positively intervenes in their lives to work regeneration. Regeneration is another word for salvation, right? We have a dead nature and then now we're alive. So that's what it means there, to work regeneration. Now, I hope that that short definition is helpful. But I also, as we leave that up there on the screen just for a moment, I also wonder if you see something in that that catches your attention. At least it does mine. In there, in that definition, it uses the word some and not all. My guess is that many of us here today that, you know, we can begin to grasp, we can maybe even appreciate, we might even find comfort in the doctrine of predestination, right? God chooses us. Yay! Amen. But there's also this reality. Some, not all. And this, I think, is perhaps the sticky point when we think about things like predestination and election. Because maybe you're like me, maybe we've asked the question like this before, why doesn't God save everyone? Or maybe we've wondered a question like this before. Does this mean God is choosing to send people to hell? This is hard stuff. I can remember I was in high school, and I was in a Sunday school class taught by my dad, and we were doing basics of the faith. And this was the very first time we got to the class on election, and this was really the first time in my young brain that I began to fully process what election and predestination were about. And you better believe, after that class, I marched right into my pastor's office, and I had words. I said a few things to him. And he was kind, and he was gracious. He explained it the best that he could. But I still remember walking out of that office that day not fully satisfied. And if I'm honest with you, I'm not sure I'm still fully satisfied. I mean, I have what I believe to be a biblically faithful answer that helps me get my mind around some of these questions that we're asking, and I'll share that with you in just a moment here. But let me be honest, my heart still wrestles with this. My heart grieves the fact that it's some, not all. My heart grieves the fact that some, that many, do not have a faith in Jesus Christ. And maybe some of us feel the same way. If you feel that way, you're not alone. This is hard. We're trying to reconcile the fact that God is love, God is full of grace, and God has the power, but not everyone is saved. The best explanation that I can give is rooted in two characteristics that we all affirm about God. God is merciful and God is just. The doctrine of predestination includes both the mercy and the justice of God. So I think a visual maybe will help with this and maybe break it up a little bit here. So I'm going to need some help here this morning. Van Mersburg and family, thank you for helping me out. Come on up here. Come on up real quick. We've got a lot to cover yet, people. All right. Come on up here. Let's see. I need all of you to stand in the pool. You know, Brian, I know you're feeling jealous. Why don't you come as well? Come on. I think we can all fit in there. Amanda, you're holding the baby. I won't make you come. All right. We have more. Can all of you fit in there? There's no water in there. Don't worry. Squeeze in. I don't know. Brian, is there room for you? Come this way. How are we doing? Are we good? Oh, nice, close, happy family and friends there. Very good. Okay. You're going to stand there for a minute, okay? Remember what we said earlier about free will? Our innate human nature is that we are dead in sin. We are in bondage to sin. We are confined in sin, like these individuals standing right here are confined in this pool. This is the state we are already in by nature. Right? God did not harden hearts to make us sin and then get us in here. This is where we start. God chooses some to come out. And so, Brian, I called you last. Come on out. Haley, Clayton, Jason, why don't you guys come out? And you guys just stand back here for a minute. You guys just stand here. You guys can spread out now a little bit. You're going to stand here just for a minute for me, okay? So God chooses to come out. What is this? This is mercy. That God chooses some to come out. Now, there's still some in the pool. Let me assure you, not thinking one way or the other about you guys still in the pool, okay? This is just an example this morning. But there's still some in the pool. God did not push them in. God did not put them in. God did not coerce them to sin to get them in the pool. This is the effect of the fall. They are already there, and in this, God is just. To not receive mercy is not an act of injustice. Let me say that again. There's a lot of negatives in there. To not receive mercy is not an act of injustice. God is not under any obligation. If God was required to save everyone, then it's no longer mercy. We all deserve this. We all deserve to be in the pool. We all deserve that destiny. But God is merciful and He chooses to save some. Now, could God save everyone? Yeah. God is sovereign. God has the power. God has the authority to do whatever God chooses to do, whatever He wants to do. Does God save everyone? Scripture's testimony is no. Now, who knows what God is going to do in the future? I'm not God. Who knows what God may or may not do? But that's not the witness of Scripture. And so in predestination, God is both merciful and God is just. Right? In Romans 9, it quotes Exodus 33. So in both Testaments, it has this verse where God says, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. And here's the thing. While I might not fully like that, and while I might not fully understand that, I also have to remember, and I have to humble myself to remember, I am not God. I don't know and I do not understand the full mystery of God. I am grateful for mercy. I can affirm God's justice. And I have to humble myself knowing that the wisdom and the understanding of God is so far beyond me. And so instead, what I want to do is I want to be faithful to the role that God is asking of me. Verse 13 sheds some light on this. Check out verse 13. It says this, "And you were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation." And so what that verse implies is that someone went out and said, let me tell you about Jesus. And people responded to that. And they heard the word of truth and they believed in the gospel of your salvation. Now, can you guys kind of go, you don't have to go right back in the pool, but can you guys get nice and close to the pool again? Let's imagine they're all in the pool. Here's the thing, right? Here's where we start. And the question we might be asking, well, why do we evangelize? Why do we share the message of Jesus if God has predestined some of them to already be saved? You want a good book on it? J.I. Packer wrote the classic book, Evangelism and the Sovereignty of God. See, I don't know who God has called. Similar to what we said a couple weeks ago about prayer and its effectiveness, that God might be using our prayers to work out His will, in God's plan, He might be working in us and through us, and that our sharing of the gospel is the method that God uses to transform a flicker of faith into one's heart a flame for God. And so we share the good news of Jesus because that might be God's sovereign plan coming to fruition in the lives of those He's called. Okay, thank you for helping me out this morning. I appreciate it so very much. Friends, I know that this is heavy stuff. I know this is heavy heart stuff. And there's maybe a lot of it that still doesn't sit well with us even as we hear about it. Here's the thing. I'm preaching on it this morning, and my heart gets, or my mind gets it. I can get my mind around it, but But my heart wrestles with this. My heart wrestles with this. And if your heart wrestles with this too, it's okay. It's hard stuff. But there's one other piece. If we're going to talk about predestination, again, you guys asked for this. If we're going to talk about predestination, there's another piece about this that I want to talk about because it's a heart thing. And it's a wrestling thing. And I want to make sure we name it because I think there's going to be unsettledness here when we think about predestination as well that I want to make sure that we name this morning. So earlier we challenged us. Right? We said there's three words to walk out of here with. Remember? He chose us. But then we said if you're feeling really good, two more words. Remember what they are? Help me out. In Christ. Yeah. He chose us in Christ. In this passage alone, the one that Eric read for us a few moments ago, just in this one passage, I count at least 9 direct references to in Christ or through Christ. And there's other indirect ones as well. God's work of choosing us is only through Christ. We receive blessing in Christ. We are chosen in Christ. We're adopted through Christ. We have hope in Christ. We're included in Christ. Right? So the salvific end, right? The end of our salvation, that God has predestined those whom He has chosen, that salvation is in and through Jesus Christ and in Him alone. It is in Jesus that we find our hope. It's in Jesus that we find our identity. It's in Jesus that we find our peace and our rest. And it's that peace and that rest that I want to talk about just for a moment this morning. Because when we start talking about free will and we start talking about predestination, it sometimes can be unsettling. Maybe not sometimes. Every time it can be unsettling. Even if we understand it mentally here and understand our head, sometimes it can begin to work a little bit of concern spiritually in us. And there's these questions that rise up. Questions like this. Did God predestine me? Am I one of those that God has chosen? And how do I know? How do I know for sure? I have asked those questions more than once. I have heard those questions asked more than once. I can imagine that if we could all see our little thought bubbles here today, I wonder if there'd be some thought bubbles filled with those questions floating around in the worship center this morning. Yes? Did God predestine me? How do I know? So let me, if you just give me a moment, to speak some words of biblical comfort to our hearts this morning. And why it is so important that we add those two little words to the end of what we want to remember when we walk out these doors today. God chooses us in Christ. Our salvation is in Jesus Christ. We will not find any assurance of our salvation in ourselves or in anywhere else. We find it in Jesus Christ. And so when we ask those questions, am I one of the elect? Am I chosen by God? The answer to those questions is the same as the answer to this question. Do I believe in Jesus Christ? If we have faith in Jesus, if we believe in who He is and what He has done for us, and if we put our hope and our trust in Him, if we believe in Jesus, we have been called and chosen by God for salvation. Remember that free will of ours? It's dead. It's in bondage. And so for us to even believe in Jesus, to believe in Him, that part, that is an act of God in our lives. And friends, I hope that we can find peace and comfort and rest by virtue of our answer to that question, do I believe in Jesus? And so my friends, let me ask you this question. Do you know Jesus? Do we know that He came into this world and He met us right where we are at? He met us in the pool of that sinful nature. Do we know that Jesus was though He lived amongst us as sinners, He was the unblemished Lamb of God who died on the cross for our sins so that our sins that should be sending us to eternal death, our sins can be forgiven once and for all? And do we know this Jesus who died on the cross, was buried in the grave, and 3 days later rose again from the grave so that He could pave the way for us to enjoy life eternal? That he had come so that we could have life for all who trust and for all who believe in him. Do we know Jesus Christ in whom we find salvation? Do we know Jesus Christ who we find comfort and peace and rest even in the midst of talking about free will and predestination? For if we believe in Jesus, we can rest assured that God chooses us. Friends, if you know and believe in Jesus Christ, look what it says at the end of this passage here. Paul writes that you were also included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. And listen to this. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit, listen to this, guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. To the praise of his glory, a guarantee of our inheritance. To the praise of his glory. So as Paul begins this passage, praise indeed. Praise the God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. God chose us in Christ. Praise God. Amen. Let's pray together. God, how great is your love for us that we are called to be your children. We are adopted through Jesus Christ by your amazing grace. And God, we thank you today that in the midst of hard concepts and hard topics and there's this wisdom and this understanding that is so far beyond what our minds can fully comprehend. And something that is so hard for our hearts to really be fully at peace with. God, we thank you for this enduring truth. You chose us in Christ. Lord, we name this morning that there's a lot of grief within our community this week. And so just for a moment today, we want to, as one body here at Westview Church, we want to be united together as one heart and in one voice. And we want to present some requests on behalf of our family to you. So God, we pray for Debbie and pray for this mass that was found on her brain. We pray for her upcoming surgery. Let that surgery be successful, and we pray for a complete and quick recuperation. We pray for Paula and the complications from some treatment, and we pray that medicine can neutralize side effects and health can be restored soon. We pray for Jen and for the consistent and chronic pain that she's been experiencing. God, we pray for relief in full. Lord, we pray also for Jay and for the discouraging diagnosis this week. God, would you please bring comfort and peace to him and Barb and for a clear path forward with treatments. And God, that you would work beyond human treatments to bring healing beyond what we can even imagine. And God, we also pray for the Huss family this week, and we ask that you would bring comfort and peace as they grieve the loss of Terry's sister. And God, we just name this morning that there's a lot more that's weighing heavy on all of our hearts today. And God, we know that you are a God who can search the depths of our hearts. And so you know where we are hurting, where we are grieving. God, would you come and would you meet us right where we are? Would you assure us of your enduring presence and bring comfort and bring peace? And God, in all of these things, we claim this today. You are the great and awesome, the holy and the almighty God. You reign and you rule over all things for all of days. You sit on the throne and all things, including our very lives, are held safe and secure in the palm of your hand. And so we put our hope, we put our trust in you, the God of love and the God of grace, who calls us to be your own. The God who has given to us a new birth into a living hope through the good news of Jesus Christ. And so with everlasting hope, we pray with all these things, we pray them all in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Westview Church Podcast. We hope that you are blessed as we studied Scripture together today. We'd love to invite you to our worship service at Westview Church, which takes place at 9:30 on Sunday mornings. May God richly bless your day.